Well, the decision is they got to get better. And, you know, I think Aaron has gotten a little bit better. I think the other guy that's got to get better that maybe is not quite ready for yet is Gabe. But it is what it is, you know. It's the injuries are what they are. You know, there's 50, I think, 4 minutes of basketball players not playing right now out of the 200 minutes that we play. And so we do got to get them better. And that's what practice is needed for. And that's what today, tomorrow, Friday, Thursday will be for, to try to get those guys, work on some offensive things. You're not going to get guys to be necessarily a better shooter and better this, but to understand things. They're going to have to spend more time. We're going to have to spend more time because this is a good enough team, but we've been dealt a tough couple of blows. And we just, you know, probably throughout a season, everybody goes through it. There's been teams out there that haven't had any injuries, but there's still a long part of the season left. You know, you look at a poor team like Minnesota early had a bunch. Indiana had some early. You look at what happened in Nebraska and Copeland. I talked to Tim Miles Saturday or Sunday, and, you know, I mean, it was just criminal. I actually talked to the kid. He gave me his number because it, you know, I hate when kids have season-ending injuries like that, and that's going to change their team a lot. So we just got to make sure we get the freshmen as ready as they can be. I'm even going to look at, you know, Bingham and which we call Thomas Kithier a little bit more. I don't know why our bigs, you know, it's going to be a little. Nick's going to have to do some things defensively. Rebounds are cutouts. I mean, we're going to have to improve in some areas. And yet I say that everybody in the country has to improve, and that's why we're rated still top 10 teams in both our offensive and defensive efficiencies, which is probably we've been more solid there than any team I've had, which doesn't really add up. But it is what, you know, the facts are. At least the analytical people say that. My eye test doesn't always feel that way, but the analytics do. So we got to get them better.
You mentioned about the bigs and the issues that they had at Purdue, but that seems like it's been, was that more of a one-game thing with them right now compared to where
they're
from?
I haven't liked the consistency. I don't think Xavier's played quite as well as he's been playing. Kenny's been playing pretty well, and Nick's been a little more inconsistent on, you know, he's been really good, and then he's, you know, a little bit less consistent. But you got to understand, when you take a couple of cogs out of the wheel, you know, if you remove five spokes from a bike, the wheel doesn't work as well. And whether anybody wants to hear it, I don't really care. But we took two of our best shooters out of the lineup. So they're going to guard Nick different. They're going to guard Cash different. You know, Duke lost a guard. I mean, they've got more talent than Carter got liver pills. And they struggled in the next couple games, you know. It's the way it is. So some of Nick's things that happen with these guys are because other people are out. You know, quarterbacks aren't as good if they don't have the best receivers or the line blocking for them, as we learned last year. We don't want to deal with it. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to make excuses for it. It is a reality. And the reality is people can do more to Nick when we don't have those two shooters. So we got to devise a couple of new ways to do some things, and we got to get the freshmen to become better shooters, and we got to pray that we get some of those guys back.
You mentioned the efficiency numbers offensively, and they might have, I'm not looking at from the whole year, they might have been better earlier, but how, number one, how have they been able to stay so good missing guys like that? And do you feel like it started to go down a little bit because people maybe now are adjusting, saying, well,
yes,
don't have these guys?
Yes, I do. That's a very good point. One of the few very good points you guys come up with. Just kidding. I do think that is it. You know, I think it's amazing that we could lose McQuaid for four games and Kyle for I don't know how many now. How many is he lost? Four or five, huh? No. Josh, seven and eight and Kyle, three or four, you know, and then when they're back, you know, they're not always the same. But that's all at one position, you know, kind of those wing guys that are all shooters. And, You know, we started looking at it. We were taking like seven or eight less threes a game. Well, Josh took seven himself. And so those things, you know, you adjust to. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to fall on our face either. We just got to make adjustments to it. And we're going to have to learn how to deal with it and do a little bit better job of getting the ball around. And I think our rebounding, our defensive rebounding has to improve. And that has nothing to do with those guys. I mean, Josh is a good rebounder, and Kyle's a good rebounder. But that's where our bigs got to do a better job. They got to take some of that burden on, because then we can still get our break going, which I think has been very good and led to some of those issues. Now, team's getting a lot of rebounds against us on the offensive end bothers me. But I'm also cognizant that we've been defending so well in general that there's more misses to get. Now, I look at it as more opportunities to get our rebound and fast break. But the opposition, you know, if they're not shooting the ball well against you, they kind of take the chance, like I did early in my career, and say, let's make the missed shot part of your offense and go and do that. So that's, I think people are adjusting, though, a little bit. But we're going to adjust this week, too, because we get some time to do some things.
Tom, we've talked a little bit in the past about playing Cassius more off the ball. Is that something that you could look into more, even if he's playing the same minutes? Does allowing him to do that, does that save him a little bit when he's on the floor, or does that all come back to Foster, I guess? Is that something you're considering at all right now, or is that not a solution?
You know, I don't know how to say this the right way, so I'm going to just say it as bluntly as I can say it. We had five freshmen that we got. And we think all five of those freshmen have a chance to be very, very good players. They didn't come in as McDonald's All-Americans. They weren't coming in as people that we thought we were going to play immediately. Almost none of them. We had eight guys deep. We thought we'd get some help from a guy or two here. We knew Marcus Bingham had to gain 30 pounds, you know, maybe to get into a uniform. You know, we knew that. And we were fine with that. We understood that Gabe had to do the same thing, you know. We really understood that about Foster. And it's been an adjustment for him. He's a smart kid that's going to pick it up. And if I say it wrong, then you think I'm giving up on a guy. Make sure you understand I'm not giving up on anybody. I mean, Cassius Winston, Draymond Green played 11 minutes a game as a freshman, you know. We would have probably played McQuaid at the point a little bit more, especially against certain teams. We don't have the luxury of doing that because the other two people at his position are not there. So Cassius is going to turn into an Iron Man. What I was most impressed with was Cassius is as the game wore on and he wore down, he became stronger. That is a great sign for him.
So, again, Tom Izzo, a bit of what he had to say during his Tuesday afternoon press conference at the Breslin Center. A few fiery responses there when addressing his team. And I totally get what Izzo is saying. I mean, the fact that Michigan State right now is sitting as still a top 10 program, you know, number six again this week in the Associated Press poll and in the latest coaches poll, Michigan State sits at number eight. The fact that Michigan State, despite the loss to Purdue, has been able to find different ways to win and to watch other players step up in light of the fact that they do not have Josh Langford and haven't had Josh Langford since December 29th is pretty amazing. But I'm feeling like a lot of Spartan fans are reaching a point of frustration. Because it's been a long time since we've seen Josh Langford on the basketball court, and we don't know what his status is going to be come this weekend against Indiana. If I was a betting man, I would bet that we won't see Josh Langford for yet another game. And I am feeling that Spartan fans are getting a bit frustrated because there is no clarification right now as to what truly is wrong with Josh Langford. You know, we had this debate on the show yesterday. This is more than just a sprained ankle. You know, I've had many sprained ankles when I was playing basketball. I'm not trying to really compare my injuries from high school and elementary school to that of Josh Langford playing Division I basketball here at Michigan State University. But when looking at Josh's recovery time from this ankle injury And when comparing it to other injuries in the D1 and even professional level in the National Basketball Association, this is more serious than just a sprained ankle. You know, I kind of felt that we were going to see Josh soon. Last week, Monday, after the win against Maryland, when Izzo rocked the mic and said that, yeah, Josh, you know, in the last few days, there was a day in which he had the boot off. He was present during shoot around. He had the boot off for actually 3/4 of the day. But we did not see Josh at all during those three games last week. And his status is still up in the air. And I don't think Michigan State can have a deep run come March if they do not have Josh Langford. Simple as that. Don't expect this team to go deep into the Sweet 16. If they do, it will be one of the greatest coaching performances we have ever seen from Tom Izzo. But it was really glaring just how much Michigan State missed Josh Langford when you look at specifically that Purdue game and the first half of that Purdue game. This team needs Josh Langford back. Nick Ward, again, as I mentioned, he has the flu. Tom Izzo mentioned that during his press conference. Izzo also gave a lot of props to ESPN's College Game Day coming this Saturday and said that Jay Billis and Seth Greenberg have been his friends for a long time. And he also went on to say that, you know, those guys get lumped in to ESPN's news division, and they got lumped into ESPN's news division last year when Izzo and head coach of the Michigan State football team, Mark D'Antonio, were lumped in with Larry Nassar, and Izzo went on to call game day, quote, part of the healing process. So that was interesting. Izzo was also asked about, you know, Josh Langford, what he's been contributing, you know, since he's not been, again, a part of the in-game process. And he's been an assistant coach for the team, Izzo said. He's been helping out with out-of-bounds plays. He's also been very active in the huddles and at halftime. Izzo went on to say, quote, he's gained an incredible amount as a leader, because he figured out that I've got to make up for what I can't do while not playing, of course. So I think that's interesting. I think there are ways to grow. Even though you're not playing, you look at the game a bit different, and you can see it a bit different if you're on the bench next to the coaching staff and other players. And you know, that's something I always have flashbacks to when Miles Bridges had his injury while here at Michigan State University. And, you know, he grew and saw the game from a different lens and a different perspective when he was on that bench next to Izzo and the other coaches. Also, yeah, I guess the question was asked to Tom Izzo about, you know, fans out there who may be complaining about the Purdue loss and not happy with it. And Izzo went on to say, quote, if Michigan State people are complaining that we are 18-3, shame on you. And I'm totally with Izzo. You know, I go back to yesterday's Current Sports. We had James just popping off on our Facebook live stream, and he was very angry about the game. And I still think, again, there's still some hangover effect. Many Spartan fans are still not over what happened in March, that second round loss to Syracuse. And there is still a glaring hangover effect that Spartan fans, frankly, will not get over until March does come and until the Spartans make a legit deep run. Until then, all the wins, all the, you know, the streak and the 21 straight Big Ten games, that, you know, that record dating back to last season, that means nothing. And, you know, to that I say, Jack, I can kind of feel him on that.
Yeah, you know, what? It's not just that. It's not just last year either. It goes back to Middle Tennessee as well.
These last few years, yeah. Right? You know, Michigan State fans, there's a certain expectation that has been built here and that Tom Izzo has built here. Michigan State fans are not going to be happy with all of the wins in the Big Ten Conference, and then when the postseason comes, you can't get the job done. And I can't blame you. I cannot blame you. But to sit there and bash the team, though, again, you also have to be realistic with this stuff. to bash the team after a great run in the Big Ten to have a hiccup. We knew the hiccup was coming. You know, you haven't had Josh Langford, and you've been still finding ways to win. Cassius has been playing out of his mind. You play three quality opponents in 1 week, and you have a hiccup on the back end of that week against a really legit team, I believe, on the road at Mackey Arena in Purdue. To bash the Spartans because of that loss, I think is also not being realistic, Jack. I think that's crazy to me. I don't know. Was it a bad loss? Yeah, it was a bad loss. Nick Ward completely taking out the game. Got to have more from him. There was no offensive production to help out Cassius Winston at that game. The comeback was remarkable. But you have games like that in the Big Ten. Things like that are going to happen, especially when you look at how Purdue played in that game. It was great. So there has to be a sense of logic here when having this conversation as well. And I totally feel where Izzo is coming from. Michigan State people complaining that this team is 18-3. Yeah, shame on you. I can see both sides here. I don't know. All right. What I want to do, I want to hit our first break here. When we come back, I want to talk about the Super Bowl. And also, Izzo was asked about the Super Bowl. This is kind of funny. Izzo was asked if he likes the Patriots or the Rams come this Super Bowl Sunday. And Izzo went on to say, quote, never bet against Belichick or Brady, especially when there's a Spartan as a backup quarterback. Again, Brian Hoyer is the backup to Tom Brady.
You got Brian Allen on the Rams, though.
You do. So you can go both ways with that, I guess, right, Jack? So we'll talk Super Bowl Media Day when we come back from this first break. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.